Well, hi, and welcome to the Christian Contrast, where we talk about how walking with Jesus leads us to live differently than those in the world around us. And in this episode, I want to talk about prayer. Prayer is important. It's a part of all of our lives if we're believers in Jesus. In fact, the odd thing about prayer is that even if you're not religious or if you're not Christian, it probably is still a part of your life. Like, prayer is this weird human instinctive thing when we get into certain situations that we want to appeal to God or the universe or something. Prayer is a part of all of our lives. Now, for those of us who are believers in Jesus, who believe in a sovereign, all-powerful God, and there's variation within Christians about what exactly we believe about God in this regard, but if we believe in a God who is sovereign to the point that he has things planned out, then a question can come up about prayer. And the very simple question is, what is even the point of praying? Why pray if God already knows what God's going to do? In fact, there's an interesting thing that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6 when he's talking about prayer and talking about it especially in terms of worry. And he says, he's encouraging his disciples to pray, and he says, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And it's an interesting thing because on the one hand, he's encouraging them to pray. And on the other hand, he says something that makes us think, why is prayer necessary? If God knows our needs before we come to him, why wouldn't he just take care of those things? He's all-knowing. He's sovereign. He has a grand plan. Do my prayers make any difference? This is not a new question. And in the same way that in a previous episode, I was talking about how do we understand the idea of God's judgment and God's wrath and at the same time, God's love. At the same time with this episode, I'm not going to talk about this for 20 minutes and all questions ever will be answered on it. But since it is a question that we come back to as Christians, I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about some reasons, some biblical reasons why we still pray, even if we do believe that God in his sovereignty has already decided what he's going to do, at least on the grand scale, and maybe even on the detailed scale. So what I want to do is I want to give four reasons why we pray, even if we do believe in a very detailed view of God's sovereignty. So reason number one of why we still pray. We pray because prayer is much more than just asking God for stuff. Now, we'll get into the idea that a big part of prayer is asking God for stuff, but we need to start with just this first of all. When we're talking about praying, we are talking about communing with God. And there is much more that we do in prayer than simply asking God to do things. Let me read a couple of passages first. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people." Now, he's broadly, in this passage, he's talking about the idea that when the church is gathered, the church ought to pray. But he gives four categories for prayer. He talks about petitions, and then prayers, which seems to be just a more general sense. Petitions are asking God for things. Prayers, maybe more general. Intercession, that's more praying for specific people. And thanksgiving. So we have these different sorts of prayers. Prayer is not just asking God for stuff. It is a big part of prayer, but if we're asking, why do we still pray? Well, that's not all we're doing in prayer. Similarly, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition." Now, the fact that it says by prayer and petition means that prayer is not just petition. That's not all that we're doing. There's something broader than it. And then he says, "With thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Thanksgiving, once again, coming up again. And now, I think for a lot of us, we kind of know this and we've kind of heard this. And even when it comes to different forms of prayer that Christians often practice, we recognize it's not just asking God for stuff. As a church, one of sort of the templates for prayer that we encourage people to use is the ACTS template, A-C-T-S. A, we start our prayers with adoration, praising God, remembering who he is. C, we move into confession and confessing our sins and our weaknesses and our burdens. T, thanksgiving, that we're showing our gratitude to God for all that he's done. And then S, for supplication, and that's when we're asking God for things. Similarly, another one that we use is just the acronym for pray, P-R-A-Y. It starts with a pause. which is just a pause to be quiet before God and reflect on who he is. R is for both kind of rejoicing and reflecting. And so we're taking time to remember truths about God and then just sitting in those before him. A is for asking, and Y is for yielding, kind of the your will be done, God, at the end. And so here's the point of all this. When we're talking about prayer, we're not just talking about asking God for stuff. So if we're starting broadly and saying, why do I even pray if God is going to do what God is going to do? Let's just say for the sake of argument, and I'm going to say I don't think this is the case, but let's say for the sake of argument, our prayers don't in any sense impact what God does. Even if we were to grant that, which I'm not going to grant, still there would be purposes for prayer. Because prayer is not only about asking God to do something, it is about connecting our heart to him. And that leads right into the second reason why we pray. Reason number one, just broadly, prayer is more than just asking God for stuff. Reason number two why we pray is that prayer is about aligning our will with God's will. It's about communing with God in a way that we are coming into conformity with his purposes and with conformity in his ultimate purpose that we would be more like Jesus. This is one of the things. One of the things that I've been praying for lately, and I think some of you will relate to this, is that prayer in my life will be a joy and not a burden. I think for a lot of us, we feel like I should pray, and I should pray more than I want, than I am praying right now. And I want to pray, but I also kind of don't want to pray. I don't feel like it, but I know that I should. And so when we think about our prayer lives, we feel a lot of guilt, we feel a lot of inadequacy, and we feel like I should pray more. There's a sense in which that's true. I mean, for every human being, we should pray more. But prayer for us is not meant to be an obligation. It's not meant to be something that we're just supposed to do, that it's good for God, but it's bad for us. Prayer is an invitation into having more direct, restful, joyful heart connection with God. For those of us who are married, there's encouragement for married couples to, hey, date each other. Like, go out, whether it's at home or whether it's going somewhere, go out on dates. Have date nights, have times that you're connecting, just the two of you. And there are times, even in a marriage, where it can feel a little bit like maybe date night is rolling around, and maybe one of you or both of you kind of feel like, ugh, all right, we should go out on a date. That it almost seems more like an obligation, not because you dislike each other, but because you're like, we're busy and we're a little bit tired and the kids have this going on and we're going to be out this week. But then you kind of come to the point of saying, all right, well, this is important. This is important. This matters. We should go out on this date. We should spend time together. We should do it. Most couples, when they do this, what they end up finding is that even if they start with this, with a little bit like, hey, right in the moment, right now, I don't 100% feel like this, but I believe in this. I believe that this is something good. What most find is just spending that time together suddenly allows opportunities for your hearts to be connected in a way that is just not available when you're going through the busyness and all the routines of life. If you stop and you just spend time together. And maybe even allow for a little bit of those awkward silences where you're at dinner together and you're both not quite sure what to say because you've just been go, go, go with kids or with jobs or with house stuff or with everything going on in the world. And suddenly you just stop and you're looking at each other like, what do we talk about? And then you allow that awkwardness to dissipate as you start talking and suddenly have the opportunity to bring up something that was on your heart that maybe you didn't realize how much it was burdening you. You have a chance to express gratitude toward each other for all the things that you do. And you're kind of saying, I thought you knew that I was really grateful to you for this, but I'm happy to tell you how grateful I am to you. This is what I love about you. Gives the opportunity also for some breaking down walls and saying, I felt alienated from you lately because of this thing that you said the other day, or because I don't feel like you really care about this thing that I'm going on, or that you're not really listening to me. Just that time allows for that heart connection. There are times before God when it's just allowing the space for that heart connection, and maybe even going into it, you don't know all the things that you're going to talk about. But once you're there, and maybe you're going through what a lot of us experience with sort of that awkward silence in prayer, like I'm not quite sure what to pray, you start expressing your burdens and you start expressing your gratitude and you start expressing your appreciation. And then you start expressing your heart and saying, God, I've been frustrated. I've been frustrated that this happened. I've been frustrated with you over this. And God, I know that's not right. I know that you're all good and I know that you always do things well, but I'm struggling because of this. It gives an opportunity for our hearts to be connected with God. And then through that, it gives us a chance for our hearts and our wills to be aligned with God's heart and God's will. The idea is that we would get done with the prayer time. And as I was sharing, that there would be a sense of relief and joy, not just saying, all right, I did that thing that I was supposed to do. But through that, I'm more connected with God. I'm more at peace. I experience more joy. I have relief from these burdens that I was carrying. And suddenly I have the perspective to see that the things that are important to God are the things that are important to me. It's a chance for us to commune with God and have our will aligned with Him. And so once again, I'm about to move into saying, I do believe that our prayers impact God. But even if they didn't, this would still be an opportunity for us to do things in prayer that are more than just asking God for stuff, and it would still give a chance for us to commune with God in a way that we're bringing our will and our heart and our actions and our intentions and our motivations in conformity with Him through thanksgiving, through confession, through offloading our burdens to Him, through all of these other things. So we still pray, even though God is sovereign, and we still pray because prayer is more than just asking God for stuff, and prayer helps us align our will with God's will. But now let's move into number three. Third reason why we continue to pray is that, and I'll use my wording carefully here, prayer appears to change things. Now, when we get into the question about God's sovereignty and our free will, these are massive questions that I don't believe human beings are ever going to solve, that they'll always be in sort of this mysterious relationship with these. There are some people that would just say, hey, the future is open, and so either God doesn't know everything or God has not determined everything, and therefore, it's no problem to say that prayer changes things because God hasn't yet decided what He's going to do with this. Boom, you ask for something, God says, oh, I hadn't really thought of that, and then He decides to do something in light of what you said. If you believe that, then I guess it's not a problem for you to believe that prayer impacts what's going on. You might run into other problems if you think that God is just sort of muddling His way through things and not quite sure what He's going to do. But if we do believe God knows exactly what He's going to do, we end up in a position where we can say, all right, how then do our prayers impact things? What I want to say is, I think that Scripture does teach that God has, at least in the big things, a grand plan where He has it planned out what He's going to do. I personally believe it goes even further than just the big things. I believe God has a will and that God has aligned it to everything that He's going to do, even in the details. I believe that He's in charge of the details of our lives and that in His will, He's planned it all out. So we could have that teaching in Scripture. When we read Scripture, though, and we read in particular the narratives and the teachings of Scripture go along with this, what we see is the constant, I'll say, impression that we're left with that our prayers really do make a difference. The Bible teaches consistently that our prayers really do make a difference. We see this with Abraham in the book of Genesis when he's appealing to God on behalf of Lot, who's in Sodom, and he's making his case before God that God shouldn't wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah if He finds righteous people there. And God keeps changing the plan in light of what Abraham is praying. There are multiple times in the books of Moses where Moses appeals to God because God says, I'm going to wipe out Israel in response to their rebellion against me. And after Moses appeals to God, that God says, all right, I'm no longer going to do that. We just recently went through a passage in the book of Joshua where Joshua was pursuing some enemies in battle. And it's a little bit of a confusing story, but what appears to happen is that Joshua says, hey, if night comes and it gets dark, I won't be able to finish this battle and the enemies are going to get away. So he asks God to prolong the day, to stop the sun and prolong the day. And the whole adage at the end of this passage, because God does this, He grants the request, is there was a day, this was a day unlike any other day before or since, because God listened to the voice of a human being. So the clear teaching of the passage is God did this because Joshua asked him to do this. And so here's where we need to hold multiple things in our minds at the same time. We can say, all right, we believe in God's sovereignty, at least to a large degree, and maybe even to an incredibly detailed degree. But what we don't get is that next step that some of us want to take. Some of us want to take that next step and then say, well, then my prayers make no difference. My prayers are irrelevant. They don't make any difference. Well, we can't take that next step. And the reason we can't take that next step is because the consistent teaching from the authors of the Bible and from God himself is your prayers do make a difference. You know, there are some who say that even if my prayers don't make a difference and don't change anything about the world or anything about what God's going to do, my prayers still change me. Now, I do believe 100% that our prayers change us, that they align our will with God's will if we're doing what we're meant to be doing in prayer. But I also believe that prayer does change. When we're praying to God, things are impacted. Things do change. People come to faith in Christ. Peter is released from prison. God stops the sun in the middle of the sky. Our prayers do change things. Now, as human beings, we want to deal with this. We want to say, all right, well, what does it mean then? How do we reconcile these two, that God is utterly sovereign and yet our prayers impact things? And I don't want to cop out on this, but I want to say this is dealing with a question that no human being and no life philosophy has found a satisfactory answer to this. We deal with our freedom and God's sovereignty, and we have to come to the point of saying, I am not going to wear myself out trying to reconcile this. And here's what I'm also not going to do. I'm not going to contradict a direct teaching of Scripture because I can't figure out how it works together with this other direct teaching of Scripture. One of the things that I think about when dealing with a question like this, I think of Psalm 131. And Psalm 131, it's a very beautiful psalm, and the author talks about the idea that I don't worry myself with matters too big for me, that are too great for me, but I'm like a child at his mother's breast. Like, I'm calm, I'm trusting God, I'm moving forward in the comfort of what he's doing. That's how we get to respond to God. And so when we say, well, why should I pray if God is sovereign? Because the direct teaching of Scripture is that our prayers make an impact on what God does. Does that mean that he's muddling his way through things? Absolutely not. It simply means that in some way, that for most of us, we can't quite figure out the mechanism of how it works, our prayers have an impact on what God does. That's why we get to celebrate answers to prayer. That's why we get to celebrate when we hear stories about people who have been praying for their spouse. There's a couple in our church where the wife was praying for her husband for over 30 years, and then he came to faith in Jesus, and we get to celebrate and saying, your prayers were a part of this. This is where when we see breakthroughs in the lives of others, or when we see marriages reconciled, we get to celebrate when we say, we prayed for that. We prayed that God would do that. When we've got get to experience physical healings, which at our church, we've got to experience. This. I had the opportunity of praying with a woman who was dealing with chronic pain, and she came forward humbly and just asked for prayer on it, and she experienced physical healing. We get to celebrate that because God worked through the prayers of very ordinary human beings. Our prayers impact what God does, even if we can't understand or reconcile all the ways that this works. And then one more. A fourth reason why we continue to pray, even though we believe God is sovereign, is that God treasures the prayers of his people. Let me just read for you. There's this passage in Revelation that's very beautiful, and I think that it talks about God's attitude toward his people. And it's in the midst of this great depiction of the throne room of God and all the glory of his throne room. And Revelation 5:8 says this, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. The image is that the prayers of God's people, the prayers of the saints, the prayers of those who belong to God, are incense, sweet smelling precious, treasured incense. This is a beautiful image, as if the prayers that we're praying now are rising up to heaven, and they're sweet to God. They're precious to God. And in a similar way to where in Psalm 56, there's a statement that's made that God has kept our tears in a bottle. It's the idea that he sees our grief, and our grief is precious to him. It's important to him. He even has a bottle full of our tears to show how important this is, that he hasn't missed any grief that we've had, and that he's going to make things right. There's not a prayer of one of God's people that has been prayed that isn't a sweet aroma to God, that he treasures those prayers. Sometimes I think some of us feel like we're kind of bothering God, like God's not really interested in us. I mean, he asks us to pray, and maybe he has this ego trip where he's just got to have us all praising him, but God doesn't actually value us. Man, our prayers are sweet incense to God. In the same way that I've been asking in my own life, God, make my times of prayer times of joy and rest, where I come out more relieved. When I start looking forward to this because I know how joyful it's going to be to commune with you. It almost feels wrong to say what I'm about to say, but God looks forward to our times of prayer with him even more than we look forward to it. God looks forward to spending time with you. God looks forward to hearing your burdens and to lifting those from you. God looks forward to hearing your confessions and giving you grace and mercy and help. God looks forward to hearing your thanksgiving and rejoicing together with you and showing you that he still is trustworthy in all that he does. We pray because our prayers are precious to God and because God is precious to us. I don't personally think that we're ever going to get away from mystery over the question of how could it be that God is sovereign, but our prayers still impact things? Like, did God really think for a minute he was going to destroy Israel? Had God really decided he wasn't going to stop the sun? All these kinds of things. And I want to say, I don't think we need to be anti-intellectual about this, but I think it's okay for us to say, questions about God's sovereignty and free will, we're not going to crack that nut. Like, nobody has. We're not going to figure that out exactly. But what we've got is we've got a God whose will we can rest in, knowing that he is absolutely king and in charge. But he's also a God that tells us to pray and says that he moves based on the prayers of his people. So pray. Pray, because prayer is much more than just asking God for stuff. If that's all you're doing in prayer, you're missing some of the beauty of prayer. Pray because prayer, when it's done well, aligns our will with God's will. It brings us into conformity with him. It brings us joy and rest in him. Pray because our prayers really do impact what God does. And pray because our prayers are precious to God. And he looks forward to our times of prayer even more than we look forward to them. So pray. And I hope you do pray. And one of my hopes is that through listening to this podcast episode, prayer seems even more appealing to you. Feels less like a burden and an obligation, and more like a beautiful invitation to spend time with the person who loves you most and to benefit from that time together. I hope you've benefited from this episode of The Christian Contrast. If you have feedback, if you have follow-up questions, if you want to sort of push back over different things in this episode, you can feel free to leave a comment on this video. We have all the videos of The Christian Contrast on our YouTube channel for Life Bible Fellowship Church, and also on our website for lbf.church. And so if you want to interact with past videos that we've done, I'd be happy to, you can do that. You can find all sorts of content. You can interact with it. I like to go and check the comments just in case there's some opportunities for interaction. We put out new episodes of The Christian Contrast every 2 weeks. So we've got a lot of content from a couple of years now. And also, we'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. So until then, thanks so much for taking the time to listen.